Okay, hey everyone, happy Sunday. Hi Cheryl. Sorry, I'm still kind of relaxing. I've had a big week. Some of you may know we had a study with the scribe here all week, Monday through Friday. And then on Saturday here, I taught at the local Center for Inner Peace. And then today I've been doing, you know, all the stuff like laundry and grocery shopping and all that kind of stuff. I think I'm ready to sleep now. But instead, I think I'll teach. But it's good to be here. It's good to see all of you all. Hi, Clara. Maybe you're here all the time, and I just don't see among all the names, but today your name jumped out at me, so I thought I would say hello. Nice to see you. Nikki says a week of awakening, now rest. Oh, Nikki, you're home. I just dropped her off at the airport this morning. I'm going to San Diego tomorrow. I'm going to be hitting the road tomorrow, so I'll try to sleep really well tonight. But we're here now for Holy Spirit Guides. And Holy Spirit Guides is the time that is set aside to go through the personal messages that have been given to me to be helpful to me. And right now, again, we're in that specific period of time where we are receiving the personal messages that were given to Laurent and me when we were together, joined in the purpose of healing. And I see Laurent is in the room. I love it when he's in the room, because then I don't feel like I'm talking about him behind his back. But I love to share the story as the story happened in my perception. What would be a lot of fun would be to turn right around and have Laurent tell the story, because you know that I had a perception, he had a perception, and although maybe in some ways they matched, in other ways they couldn't have, because we were each looking at them through the filter of our minds, and we had different minds, you could say. So the story that I'm telling is my story. If he was to tell the story, it would be his story, and they wouldn't be exactly the same, and that's okay. I heard Barb D say this morning, you know, Barb D is a lawyer, and she was talking about how, you know, when people see a car accident, you know, everybody sees a different car accident. They all see it differently. So certainly Laurent and I would have seen the relationship differently. But still, when I'm telling it from my perspective, I try to be as honest with that perspective as I can be, because the real reason for that is, you know, when I talk to people, a lot of people have the idea that somehow their problems are bigger, you know, that their hate is stronger hate, that their rejection was more of a real rejection. And it seems like to go ahead and describe what we were going through, and Nikki says she's more unworthy. It seems like to go ahead and describe what we were going through to the best of my ability, again, my perception of it, but to really share the detail, kind of helps people to see that, you know, it's not like we were just blessed with, you know, this easy to accept light. You know, we had strong hate. We had strong feelings of unworthiness. We had strong feelings of, you know, being rejected or unloved or disapproved of or judged. And that these obstacles are not obstacles that cannot be overcome or transcended. So that's really my purpose for telling the story. I'm not here to gossip about our relationship. Or anything like that. I'm here to share the message that there is an answer. There is an answer, and the answer comes through Holy Spirit and through the practice of listening to Holy Spirit. Okay, so what I would like to do before I share, yeah, Gossip Girl for God, that's it. That's it. But I do love it when Laurent is here, because although I know that he's okay with me sharing, I know he understands my perspective, somehow it just feels a little better for him to be here while I'm talking about the relationship. So thank you, Laurent, for coming. What I would like to do is say a prayer. And if you all would join me in the prayer, I would appreciate it. Holy Spirit, I am grateful. And right now I'm going to say I am grateful for loosening and loosened thoughts. I am very aware, Holy Spirit, that when we wholly believe the thoughts in our mind, we suffer. That's it. That's the problem. You know, we wholly believe all of our judgments, all of our expectations, all of our ideas about ourselves, all of our ideas about the world, how it's supposed to be or how it shouldn't be. I mean, all of these ideas, it's a jumble of thought, which Holy Spirit once called wisps of air, right? Just wisps of air, all bundled up. And yet they are the cause of our suffering. And so, Holy Spirit, I want to say that I'm grateful for loosening and loosened thoughts. Because although these thoughts may still appear, when they are not believed or not wholly believed, they do not cause the suffering. They are nothing. They are meaningless. They are wisps of air. And Holy Spirit, if I may, I would like to pray for my brothers, anyone at all, who still suffers from belief and thought. And I would like to give my willingness for them, joined with their true will, that these thoughts may begin to loosen, so that they can be free of belief. Thank you very much, and amen. All right, I just heard Jamie bark. Let me let her in, and I'll be right back. Oh, wait, before I go, let me go ahead and give you guys the link to the message. You can be opening the message. Oh, never mind, Danielle's going to get Jamie. I didn't even know Danielle was in the room. Here's the link to the message.
Hello, Jamie.
Hello, my love.
She gave me a facial while Cheryl was teaching. I laid on the floor, and Jamie licked just like every inch of my face, and now it has kind of a dry, sticky feel to it. That's the post-Jamie facial feel. All right, so the name of this message that I have just given you is Choose to be Happy with the Wish to be Different. Yeah. Even before I read the message, the thought that pops into my mind is, you know, Holy Spirit has been working with me for a number of years to help me let go of false thoughts, false concepts, false beliefs. And Holy Spirit, of course, in working with me, has always worked with me in a way that worked for me. And one of the things that Holy Spirit has taught me to do is to let go. So like if I notice in my mind, for example, you know, let's say I had the wish that Jamie wouldn't go in and out the door, you know, while I'm teaching, right? I can look at that thought and I can say, oh, I see I have a wish here and it's causing me a bit of suffering. I will just let go of the wish. And I've always been able to do that. I don't know why. I just can. As soon as I notice the wisdom of letting go of a particular thought, as soon as I notice that the thought is really, for example, only causing me pain, then I'm able to just let go, just change my mind. Say, never mind, I don't wish for that anymore. You know, I accept it as it is. But one thing I've learned is not everyone seems to feel like, anyway, they can do that. You know, some people, for example, may see the wish that the dog wouldn't go in and out while I was teaching. And then instead of just noticing that they have the wish and the wish is causing them pain and letting go of the wish, instead they kind of remember somewhere in their mind that Holy Spirit taught letting go of thoughts. But then they judge themselves for not just following Holy Spirit's advice. Hold on, this is the second time he's called in 2 minutes, so let me see what's up here. Hello? I'm fine, my love, but I just started teaching 9 minutes ago. Okay, bye. Okay, now he knows. So again, as I was saying, they'll remember, you know, the Holy Spirit taught letting go of these thoughts, but instead of being able to find that way within themselves of letting go, they judge themselves, you know, like, I shouldn't be having the thought. That's what happens. I shouldn't be having the thought that I wish Jamie didn't go in and out when Regina was teaching. And so, since we seem to need different things from Holy Spirit in the process of waking up, since, you know, what works for me may not work for you, for example, Holy Spirit is versatile. Holy Spirit literally does not teach one way to wake up, one way to become free. Holy Spirit teaches a lot of ways. That's why Jesus says in the Course that there is not one theology, but there is one experience, right? So this particular message was really given to a mind that can't as easily say, oh, I see that wish is hurting me, I will just let go of the wish. This is for the mind that feels that it, for some reason, it has more trouble letting go of the wish and then judges itself for having the wish in the mind. So maybe this message is for some of you. So here's what Holy Spirit says. You are experiencing a feeling of emptiness or incompleteness, which you are trying to fill with some experience within the world. You go about your way of trying to fill this emptiness in many ways, through spiritual seeking, through eating, through a change in your career, or through achieving better health. But always you are judging now as incomplete, and always you are thinking a different now would be better. You know, it's funny that I should have started off talking even before I looked at the message, that I didn't feel this message was really specifically for me. Because now that I read the paragraph, the first paragraph, I even remember when I received it, feeling like this message was not specifically for me, not even specifically for Laurent, but feeling that this message was really more for my friends, for some of my friends, I didn't know which ones, no one specific, but that I was being used to communicate with, you know, a mass of people in this case. And you can kind of see that in the first paragraph, because, you know, if Spirit was talking directly to me, for example, Spirit would not be quite so general. Spirit would say, for example, you know, you want this, Regina. You know, you want, you know, you are, I can't think of anything I was wishing for at the time. So I'm just going to have to make something up. I don't remember any specific issue at the time. But, you know, let's say you wish you had more money, right? You wish you had more money. And he would have been very specific about that. But this message is not really directly to me. This is a message that came through me. And because it's really to a mass of people, he lists several possibilities for how we may be wishing it was different. You know, he says that we try to fill this emptiness in many ways through spiritual seeking. And of course, the spiritual seeking is how we are trying to fill this emptiness, then really what we're probably looking for is what we would consider more enlightenment, right? More enlightenment will make me happy. He says through eating. There's one many of us are familiar with, right? More cookies. If I just had more cookies, I would be happy. You know, through a change in your career, right? Or maybe for some of you, for achieving better health. Whatever the current situation is, you really have this belief that if you had something different or something more, that you could be happy. But right now, exactly the way it is, there's something wrong. right now is not perfect. Something needs to change. I need to lose 10 pounds, right? I need to gain $10,000. I need to move away from this roommate. I need to find a roommate. I need to dump this romantic partner. I need to find a romantic partner, right? Whatever is right now is not good enough. It's really the cause of my unhappiness. That's the belief. Therefore, changing what is right now is the answer. In the next paragraph, Holy Spirit says, "Do you not see how this is merely a repeat of the tiny mad idea, the wish that as it is now, be different?" If you're familiar with the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament, NTI, oh, hold on to your wishing. Jamie wants out again. Hold on 1 second. Come on, my love. Okay, I guess I was wrong. She didn't follow me to the door that time. She might want to eat or something. Yeah, Danielle, why don't you go feed her? Okay, so as I was saying, I can't really remember what I was saying. Oh, yeah. The Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament, which we call NTI, NTI Romans chapter 2 basically describes what the Course calls the tiny mad idea as this question: what would it be like if everything was different than it is? And Holy Spirit says that was just a curiosity, right? Just a curiosity, what would it be like? Well, what that curiosity did, however, was that was the curiosity, because we believed it and followed it and judged it, that was the curiosity that really led to the false self and the illusion of the world and all of the suffering. And what Spirit is saying here is that suffering is continuing not because we once upon a time, 6 billion years ago or whatever, asked the question, what would it be like if everything was different than it is? The reason we're suffering is because we continue to ask that question now, today. You know? What would it be like if I didn't have, you know, fungus in my toe? What would it be like if I didn't have gray hair? What would it be like if my skin wasn't wrinkling? What would it be like if I didn't need glasses, right? There's something. There's something we can find that we wish was different. And that wish creates suffering to some degree. You know, if you just look at your own life right now and look at something that you've been wishing it was different, notice that there's, to some degree, there's suffering. It may seem like a minor annoyance. It may seem like something really big that, you know, just has to change or else, you know, because all suffering is coming from it. But notice that you can't really look at something and really wish it was different and feel total peace and joy at the same time. You know, my desk tends to stay in a fairly disorganized state. Actually, it's more organized than it appears. I mean, I kind of have all these piles around because I know what's in each pile. But I've always been this way. Like, as far as I can remember, my desks have been unorganized. Even if the whole rest of my house is clean, my desk has this appearance of being unorganized, even though it actually is somewhat organized. But it's an appearance of kind of messy. And I used to always look at my desk and wish that it was different. And every time I would feel some sense of frustration, you know, because it is the way it is. And yet, there's just something about the personality, the desk never changed. So I was living with a sense of frustration. You know, even when I took the time to clean up the desk, because, you know, it only took a couple days before it was like this again. I mean, this is just the way the personality is. It you know, so it needs to be accepted. But when it wasn't accepted, it caused frustration, it caused self-judgment, it caused stress. So if there's anything in our life that we're looking at and we're saying, you know, I don't like it this way, I need it to change. If we look at it, you know, look at our emotions, we will notice we are not at peace. Holy Spirit says in the third paragraph, I ask you to notice how much you desire for now to be different, for there to be some change in your current experience in order for you to be happy. So this is one of those situations when he's asking us to really look at it right now. I ask you to notice how much you desire for now to be different, for there to be some change in your current experience in order for you to be happy. And then I ask you to notice that within this wish that now be different, you make the choice not to be happy now. This reminds me of a book I read way back when I was like 18 or 19. I was pretty young. And of course, romance is what I was interested in at the time. And I can't remember the name of the book. I remember it had a pink cover. And it's a book that I'm certain is not in print anymore because really what it taught would not be approved of in the modern world. It taught a woman, you know, how to really make a man happy through being submissive. You know, and it showed how, you know, like if you really listen to your man when he talks and if you, you know, do all these things, he will be happy and he will cherish you. I remember that was the word. He will cherish you. And because he will cherish you, you will be happy, right? So it was that idea that a woman needed a man to cherish her in order for her to be happy, and this book taught you how to get him to cherish you through choosing to be submissive. And I don't remember a lot about what the book said, but there was one, why don't you teach that book, Lord Blue says. There was one thing in that book that really stuck with me, that actually didn't have so much to do with being submissive. It was a different idea that showed up in the book. The idea was basically that what causes most women unhappiness is putting off their happiness until something changes. You know, and I remember one example was when I lose 10 pounds, I will be happy, right? That's the example I remember, but they may have given other examples as well. And I think the connection back into the man thing was that, you know, a man really isn't happy with an unhappy woman. So in order to get your man to love you so you can be truly happy, you need to choose to be happy with whatever is now. So it's kind of a funny logic if you think about it. But that thought stuck with me about, you know, don't put off your happiness. It's okay if you really feel like you want to lose 10 pounds. And you want to set a goal to lose 10 pounds. There's nothing wrong with that. But you can be happy as you're setting the goal. And you can be happy as you're losing the weight or not losing the weight, whatever happens, right? It's saying, you know, you don't have to put off your happiness until some goal is achieved. Be happy now. Be happy now. And what Holy Spirit is really saying here is that when we choose to wish something is different in our life, to really wish it was different, we are actually choosing not to be happy now. That's what he's saying. You know, if I wanted to continue with that time, with that mind frame I used to have that I wish my desk didn't look like it looks, well, then I could continue to be frustrated every time I sit down and my eyes land on my desk. But I'm choosing that. The unhappiness is not inherent in the messy desk. The fact that there's a desk that appears disorganized does not require a reaction of unhappiness. I am choosing that. The fact that I may be 10 pounds or 50 pounds or 100 pounds overweight does not require the reaction of unhappiness. I am choosing that. The fact that the body may be ill, you know, or the fact that I may not be in a romantic relationship does not require unhappiness. I'm choosing that. This is Spirit's point. He says, just notice, right? Notice that within this wish that now be different, you make the choice not to be happy now. Look at what you're doing. You're putting off your own happiness. He's really appealing to our reason, capital R, reason. You know, within A Course in Miracles, it refers to the Holy Spirit and the right mind, and we understand that they're synonymous, but it also refers to reason. And they are also synonymous with Holy Spirit and right mind. Holy Spirit, right mind, and reason. He is appealing to our reason. He's asking us to look and to use our own common sense to notice what we are doing when we choose to wish that things were different than they are. You know, look right at it and notice that we are choosing to be unhappy. The next paragraph, he says, just notice at first, right? Just notice. Notice that wanting something to be different is choosing not to be happy now. I love these messages where he goes really slow like this. He's not getting overly intellectual. He's just asking us to look. You know, is there somebody in your life that you wish was different, acted different? You know, a parent, a child, a significant other? Yourself? Notice that when you're wishing they were different than they are, notice how you feel. Notice you're choosing, you're literally choosing not to be happy whenever that thought is in your mind. And then continuing with the message, he says, and then, after you have noticed, continue to be willing to notice how much you wish now were different. You may come to see that this wish is much more prevalent than you were aware. And you may wish for that to be different, right? Wish that you did not have the wish. But when you see this last thought, pause and notice what you are looking at. The wish not to have the wish is a clear echo of the judgment of the tiny mat idea. So like I said, he is talking to a mind that for some reason, when it notices a wish, instead of just changing its mind and saying, oh, I see that wish causes me pain, I change my mind, I choose to accept this person or this situation as it is, and honestly shifting within. Instead of a mind that is doing that, he's talking to a mind who then judges itself for having the wish. I shouldn't wish that he was different. I shouldn't wish that my desk is different. I shouldn't wish that my weight was different. I'm bad for wishing. That's the mind he's talking to. I'm bad for wishing. Now I'm even worse than I was. You know, before I was just frustrated, now I'm guilty and frustrated. That's who he's talking to. Now you want to go outside, my love? Okay, Danielle said she'll get her. I can't tell for sure what she wants. She's just staring at me. She's trying to give me some telepathic message. I think it is outside. Danielle's going to let you go. There you go. No, maybe she just wants me to quit teaching and play with her. I just gave her one of those, Lynn. I just gave her one of those, but maybe she wants more of that. Okay. So, again, this paragraph said, after you have noticed, again referring to the fact that after you've noticed that whenever you're choosing not to be happy, whenever you're wishing something was different, you're choosing not to be happy. After you've noticed that whenever you're wishing something was different, you're choosing not to be happy, right? He says, then continue to be willing to notice how much you wish now were different. You know, notice how many times in a day your eyes or your ears land on something and you wish it was different. You know? Come here, my love. I can't help you with whatever you want. You have to wait. You want to go lay down? Go lay down. Come here. Come here. Come here. I love you. I love you. Mwah! Now go lay down. Go on. I'll be with you soon. Okay? All right. And then when you notice in your mind, you know, that you're constantly wishing for things to be different, right? If you're the type of person that has that thought that you shouldn't be wishing it was different, that you're now bad for wishing it was different, look at that. Let's pause and look at that now. We're going back another layer. Look at how you're now wishing that you were different because you're wishing the wish was not there. And notice that's just a continuation of the exact same thing. It's like an echo. Holy Spirit says, now, with this realization in your mind, can you choose to look at everything differently? Can you choose to be happy with the wish in your mind? So if you don't feel like there's something in your mind that doesn't seem to allow you to just change your mind and say, okay, I let go of wishing that. Somehow the wish seems stuck. Instead of judging yourself for having the wish, can you choose to relax and be happy even though the wish is there? You know, just like I've learned to relax and be happy even though my desk has the appearance of being disorganized. Just as I'm relaxed and happy even though the dog seems to want my attention, right? Can you relax and be happy with a wish in your mind? Can you choose to be happy with the wish in your mind? Can you notice that you want now to be different, right? See clearly that wanting now differently is an obstacle to feeling happy now, and then choose to be happy with that. So let's say you want your significant other to be different. And you feel frustration, you feel annoyance, sometimes maybe even anger and hatred when they act in the way that you kind of wish they didn't. And now you're listening to this teaching and you're noticing that it's the wish in your mind, the wish that that person didn't spend so much money, you know, or the wish that that person made more money, right, or whatever. And you're noticing that this is causing you unhappiness, and yet you feel stuck there. You don't really feel like you can let go of that wish. It feels too core to your value system right now. Can you just relax and let the wish be there? Just kind of relax with it. Let it be. Okay, I see. I wish that she didn't spend so much money, or I wish that he made more money, right? Or whatever. I see that. And I accept myself with this wish in my mind. Exactly as I am now. Right now. With this wish in my mind. The next paragraph. If you can choose to be happy with the wish to be different, you can choose to be happy with yourself. For whenever you judge your ideas, you judge the essence of you. And when you choose to judge the essence of you, you choose the experience of unhappiness. I'm drinking a Sonic Diet Strawberry Limeade. Holy Spirit says, do not think much about what the effects of this decision may be. If you are looking to effects, hoping they will be different, you are caught up in judging the moment and not seeing the judging that you do. Instead, notice you hope for different effects. Notice that is a judgment of the moment and allow yourself to be happy with your wish. Say, yes, I want things to be different. Yes, I wish they were different than they are. What a magnificent mind I have that I can wish for difference and experience the light of untrue. What he's referring to in this paragraph is something I'm sure you all are aware of, is that somewhere along the line, you know, many of us have learned that when you accept something, it changes. And it often does. So if I can accept that my partner isn't making enough money, you know, or accept that enough money isn't coming in, right? When I accept my current financial situation, it will get better. And Spirit's saying, notice this little hope in your mind here. That's still the wish that it be different. You know, notice that. Notice back here, you're still looking at the effects. You're still believing that you need something to be a specific way in order for you to be happy. You're still believing that you need your husband to change, or your wife to change, or your financial situation to change, or your health to change. He's saying, don't be tricked by this idea that if I accept, then I'll get what I want. And the primary reason he doesn't want you to be tricked by this is because if you are tricked by this, what's really going on is that you are holding on to the belief that you have to put off your happiness until things change. You're holding on to the belief that wishing things were different or wanting things differently than they are now is the answer to unhappiness. And that's just never going to work. You know, because if I, like Cliff has just written in, I can finally be happy when ... Okay, let's say that ... is when I lose 10 pounds. I can finally be happy when I lose 10 pounds. Well, if I believe that and I lose 10 pounds, certainly there may be this temporary, yay, I like putting these jeans on again. But that is not permanent happiness. There's going to be something else. Something else that my mind is going to find to be unhappy with, that I'm going to think needs to change. The real problem is the belief. The real problem is the idea that I can't be happy now. That's the real problem. That I can't just choose to be happy, and it has nothing to do with anything in form or even any thought. Because again, he's asking us to be happy even with the thought that we wish things were different. So watch that little thought that says, if I accept this, then it will change. Because that's just a little spiritual masquerade that's still allowing you to hold on to the belief that you can't really be happy until things change. Let's see, Laurent just wrote something I want to read. Let me read this. He says, notice he talks about the light of separation. Yeah, the light of untrue. He says, what a magnificent mind I have that I can wish for difference and experience the light of untrue. You know, it reminds me of John Sherman a little bit. You know, I remember when Laurent and I were together. Laurent was watching John Sherman a little bit then. And one day I was laying on the floor watching it with him. And John Sherman said something. I don't remember his exact words, but the idea was, what a magnificent gift this experience of separation is. You know, how wonderful that we get to taste, you know, all of these experiences that we could not have tasted if it wasn't for separation, right? It's funny because many of us who were brought up through the... Oh, I'll get to you in just a second, Lord Blue. I just noticed your hand is up. Many of us who were brought up through the Course community somehow got this idea, maybe because of lessons like, you know, the world is an attack on God. But we somehow got this idea that duality was bad. You know, that everything about duality was bad, and that if I experience duality, I'm bad. And so the wish that becomes different, that I wish, and this is where we use the spiritual path, is a part of the wish that was different. I wish I was more enlightened and did not see duality, then I will be happy, right? And Spirit's saying, be happy right now. Right now, within the experience of duality. Whatever your state of mind is, whatever your experience is, accept now and be happy. Okay, Lord Blue, I will turn it over to you. What have you got for me? Question. The text says, and experience the light of untrue. Is untrue a light? If so, then what is darkness? Is ego a light? Yeah, basically what Holy Spirit teaches us is that all there is love, right? Love is the only thing that is true. Light is another word that can be used. All there is light, which basically means that even that which we call ego, its basic essence, basic element, has to be light. You could say that darkness is nothing but light seen through a dark pair of glasses. In reality, if you remove the glasses, it's still light. Because light is all there is. If there was true darkness, then it would not be true that light is all there is, right? So if light is all there is, then even that which we call darkness must ultimately be light. So when he says, what a magnificent mind I have that I can wish for difference and experience the light of untrue, what he's doing is focusing us on the fact that everything really is light. That's what he's focusing us on. You know, it may appear to be dark, but it's actually light. And Laurent says, this refers to the subtle wish to escape this crap, this body, this personality. And like I said, it reminds me of what John Sherman said when he said that the experience of separation is a wonderful gift. A wonderful gift. Now, Jamie, I think, is asking to go outside again. She's been standing here going back and forth between me and the door. So let me see if opening the door... Oh, Danielle once again is yelling, she will do it. I think Danielle must be listening in the bedroom because she's not in here with me, but when I say things like that, I hear her going, I'll do it. But what if she wants me to open the door? No, she looks like she's going. She has been that picky before where she wants to go outside, but she wants me to open the door. Looks like she went out though with Danielle. Okay, Lord Blue, your hand is still up. Is that because you have another question? Yeah, follow up. Okay. If everything is light, then what is the purpose of teaching anything spiritual? I can only speak from my experience. Although, again, there's an appearance that I teach others, and there's an appearance sometimes that others are grateful and they're being helped and all of that. My primary experience is I am waking myself up to the fact that everything is light through teaching. In other words, when I began teaching, you know, way back in April and May of 2005, I did not at all have the perception that everything is light. I was sharing messages that Holy Spirit gave me that were pointing in that direction, but it was not any kind of an experience for me. But what happens as I teach is that I am waking up to that. So I would say, you know, I can only answer from my experience. The purpose of teaching is to realize what is already true. That's my answer to your question. And I love it. All right. So, again, so Holy Spirit is saying, you know, you do not need to feel guilty for the way you see now. You do not need to feel guilty that you experience duality. Instead, say, wow, what a magnificent mind I have. you know, that I can experience duality just because I wished for something to be different, wished for an experience different from heaven. You know, kind of admire that. He's really teaching us not to judge. You know, we have a mind that habitually judges, and he's teaching us not to judge. And I think sometimes we expect even Holy Spirit to judge somewhere. You know, like, sure, Holy Spirit's going to teach us not to judge this, not to judge this. But when it comes to the fact that I am unenlightened, you know, that I experience duality, you know, even Holy Spirit judges that, is what we expect. We expect even Holy Spirit to tell us, you're wrong, you shouldn't be experiencing duality, there's something wrong with you. And instead, Spirit is showing up non-judgmental, which is true Spirit, non-judgmental. Appreciate what a magnificent mind you have, that you can wish to experience something different from truth. And there it is. Light itself forms darkness, you know, as a result of your wish. Appreciate that for a moment. Light itself appears to be darkness, right? Because you wished to experience something different than light. There's love in there somewhere. Can you find it? Okay, I said, I admit that I am feeling fear at the idea of practicing this message. And knowing me, that came from, you know, like I said, I the way I always practice is that I notice the wish and I just let go of the wish. And I think I was thinking, wow, what if there is something that I can't let go of, you know, and I'm sure that there probably was coming to my mind as I listened to Spirit. What if there is something that I'm scared now? I'm really scared that if I become happy with the wish in my mind, that I'm not ever going to take the next step and let it go. You know, I'm scared of this. This is different for me, and I don't like it. Spirit, I wish you hadn't just said this. I wish it was different. Okay, so let's look at what Holy Spirit says. That is your feeling of being foundationless again. Allow that feeling in joy. So this is from a prior message, the feeling of being foundationless. He says, allow that feeling in joy. So what is the foundation that I'm missing? Well, look at the next sentence. Judgment is a foundation because it is the building block of this experience of illusion. Hey, Danielle, if you're within my voice, Jamie wants back in. Judgment is a foundation because it is the building block of this experience of illusion. Are you having fun, Jamie? You having fun getting all this attention? Huh? You know, if you really look at it sometimes, it scares us. What? Now she's hitting my arm. She wants me to get up and play with her. It scares us to let go of judgment. And you know this because either you've said yourself or you've heard others say, you know, well, if I let go of judgment, I'm just going to be a doormat. Or, you know, if I let go of judgment, you know, I'm going to make stupid mistakes. You know, if I let go of judgment, you know, we really do believe that judgment keeps us safe, just like we believe that fear keeps us safe. I believe I need judgment to keep me safe. So when Spirit starts providing such an extreme example of non-judgment, including not judging myself for having an ego thought in the mind, including not judging myself for having an ego experience, including maybe even not judging myself for feeling an ego emotion like hate, that starts scaring me. Something in me says, but if I don't judge myself, I will never be good. It will never be right. If I don't judge, there's going to be total chaos. And what that does is that just points to our belief that judgment is our foundation. So Spirit says, judgment is a foundation because it is the building block of this experience of illusion. Without the building block, the foundation and the illusion must crumble. Your judgments that keep the untrue in place are very subtle. and it is time we begin looking at these subtleties now. You notice some judgments as judgments, and you choose to let them go. See, he's acknowledging my way of practicing, letting it go. But others you see as right, and you keep them out of a belief in rightness. So now he's pointing to me and he's saying, these are the things, Regina, that maybe you don't let go quite so quickly. When you really believe you're right about it. Judging the moment through wishing is judgment. And judging the wishing is judging more. To see this without judging is shaking the foundation of illusion. And this is why you feel fear. And whenever we're asked not to judge, if we're still very attached to judge, we will feel fear. It's funny, but we want to judge ourselves for hating. Because like I said, if I don't judge myself for hating, I'll never be good. We think that judgment is the answer. And he's saying that is not true. Judgment holds everything that's untrue about you in place. Because judgment is the building block of illusion. And the way to just let everything kind of crumble and fall away is to be in acceptance of everything. Not only the outward situation, not just the dog going in and out, not just, you know, don't just be in acceptance about the messy desk. But if you're annoyed by those things, if you're hating those things and you don't find it simple just to change your mind, and be in acceptance of your annoyance. Be in acceptance of your hate. Be in acceptance of the fact that you're feeling distracted, you know. You feel like your mind's not on what it's supposed to be on. Be in acceptance of anything at all that you are tempting to judge. Anything at all that you are tempted to say, this should be different. And if you guys really follow this, unless the foundation of judgment has already been really loosened for you, you will probably find that there is fear at that idea. And all the fear does is point to how much we believe judgment is needed to keep order. If you feel fear at the idea of not judging, it simply points to how much you believe you need judgment to keep order. So can you accept that you wish something was different? Can you accept that you feel intense hate right now because you wish something was different? Or are you wishing the hate away? Can you allow anything and everything that is a part of the current moment's experience without wishing it was different? Since the tiny mad idea was, what would it be like if everything was different? You can see how allowing everything to be as it is the undoing of that. It's the antidote. The last paragraph of this message, Holy Spirit says, remember that fear is resistance to letting go of the false as true. This is a definition that Spirit gave us several messages ago. He defined fear as resistance to letting go of the false as true. That's the definition. So when I am feeling fear, what he's really saying is I want to believe the current situation or the current thoughts. And if I want to believe the current situation or the current thoughts, that's resisting letting go of the current situation or the current thoughts as false. I want to believe them, so I'm resisting saying, hey, that's false, that's meaningless, and letting it go. So he said, fear is resistance to letting go of the false as true. And then he says, accept your resistance without judgment. Then step forward into my request, remembering that patience is key, which was a couple messages ago. We are going very deep into the mind now, and this is the answer to the questions that you ask. We will continue to step into the mind by going in one little bit at a time, but we are going in at the core. So the effects of the going shall be great. And the way I understand this is Spirit is saying, no more fooling around. And what no more fooling around means to me is I have given you an intellectual foundation, an intellectual understanding that was necessary in order to stoke your willingness to really go in and look at what's happening in your mind and start changing the habits of your mind. But that intellectual framework has been given, and now we're going to start changing some habits. There are things that you have accepted in your mind as natural and as true, which are not natural and are not true. And now I'm going to guide you through a process of looking very directly at how you think. And I'm going to show you exactly what the errors are and how you think. I'm going to ask you to start making different decisions. And again, the first different decision I'm asking you to make is let go of judging whatever presents itself right now, even if presenting itself is judging. If that's what you notice, if that's what just presented itself, let's imagine you wished your husband was different, and then you quickly judged yourself for wishing your husband was different. Then acceptance begins there. Do not judge yourself for judging yourself for wishing your husband was different. You know, there's always a place to start accepting now. There's always a place to accept the current situation, the current state of mind, the current decisions that have been made. You can never judge so much that you can't find a place to begin accepting. All right, Lord Blue, is your hand still up from before, or do you have something else for the last few minutes? Okay, here we go. Are there other instances in your books where HS talks about the light of untrue, or is it this one instance? I'm not asking about the concept, but the exact words. No, well, I don't recall the exact words. But if I was to point you back to a message that would be the foundation for those words, oh, Laurent says there are. He knows the words better than I do, so maybe I should give him the mic. But I was going to say I would point you back to the power of light message. But Laurent, I will just let go of the mic and let you finish answering Lord Blue.
Hi, Lord Blue. Though Regina gave the answer, it is the power of light, and then it's how are you? And then you will find as some kind of a thread, right, throughout all these messages, all the messages we received, both of us. So this was the main event, just to see light instead of darkness, to see darkness as light. Very powerful. It's really to cut the idea of victim. So, right, you know, it is very, well, in the message before, actually, very powerful message called patience is key. That's all that it's about. If you just wear this lens, right, the lens of the light of untrue, you will find this in every messages. Under each line and in between each words. It's an amazing lens. And I know that you will enjoy it very much. It's everywhere. It's everywhere in the course too. It's everywhere. But the power of light is the first one. And there we go. I just want to say something, Regina, because it's the end. And I've noticed, like, I think it was last week, last week I wasn't there, but I heard that you were saying that we were entering like a very difficult time in that month of January. And I wrote something a little earlier, because that message, the last paragraph of the message, opened for me personally, because you wanted to hear my part of the story. For me, it opened the worst month in my whole life, I think. Just happened right after this message. It really shook up the foundation. And it was all nice and stuff, but for me personally, I just couldn't take it. I didn't know what was up. It was too much resistance. And that was, of course, the first thing would be to project that on my dearest Regina. But, you know, one doesn't know any better. I didn't know any better at the time. But it was like, wow, frantic hate. It was terrible. Okay, I love you, dear. Bye.
All right, well, that's a perfect introduction. Next week we are going to look at the message that Holy Spirit gave me when it appeared that you rejected me, the message that he gave me to help me let go of rejection. So now Laurent has just kind of explained how, from his point of view, how that scenario began to unfold. And next week we will look at how Holy Spirit let me... Oh, you're not going to be here, so I get to talk about you behind your back. No, you know me. I'll just be honest and loving and hopefully teach the message correctly, which really is the teaching that the belief in rejection is a false belief. And we'll get into that next week. It's time for me to let go of the mic. Oh, you'll be away for 2 months. All right. I love you. Bye, Laurent.